Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition of the NFL Show on this 17th of December, 2013. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you for the next 45 minutes as we discuss a week number 15 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can hit me up on Facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. You can also go to my website, CyrilQuinn.com. And you can also certainly go to follow me on Twitter at William Jarrell. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We begin, as always, with the game of the week and it was beautiful to watch as a Washington Redskins fan who is swimming in just sorrow and have to watch the Burgundy and Gold just, you know, do what they do for the next couple of games. So it was absolutely beautiful to watch because not only do I hate the Cowboys, it's not so much the Cowboys when the Cowboys lose. It's how they lose. It's how they lose. I mean, allowing Matthew Stafford and Detroit to go down the field, blowing a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter in that particular game. And this is even worse. This was the worst loss of the season by any team that I've seen. Feel free, if you, as a caller, to call me up and think of any loss that's worse than this. Feel free. I haven't seen one. I haven't. Green Bay 37, Dallas 36. Green Bay improves to 7-6-1 on the season, still just a half game behind the first place Chicago Bears. Dallas 7-7, a game behind the first place Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, Dallas is up 26-3 in this game at halftime. Green Bay has no offense in the first half. Dallas, you know, dominates the first half. I mean, record-setting numbers for the franchise, over 330 yards of offense. Think about some of the great offenses they've had in their illustrious history. And, you know, you get to the second half, 26-10, you're like, okay. 29-10, you go into another game. 29-17, like, maybe have some. Still watching other games. 29-24, you're saying to yourself, like, hold on, wait, this can't really happen. Again? This can't happen again. No, it's not going to happen. This can't happen. I mean, this can't. And lo and behold, Green Bay, I mean, Dallas, then Dallas goes up. Then Dallas scores again, go up 36, 24. He's like, all right. Now, this game's over. Green Bay has nothing left. Romo proceeds to throw two picks. And there you go. Green Bay was unstoppable in the second half. Five possessions. I don't count the last possession when they had to take the kneel down. That game was over at that point. Five possessions, five touchdowns in the second half of that game. Five possessions, five touchdowns. And again, everybody's talking about Tony Romo. And Tony Romo has made a habit of being the whipping boy. He has. I mean, let's be honest. He's not a great quarterback. He's not a bad quarterback either. But he's not the reason why they lost that game. not the reason. And, you know, but according to Jason Garrett, who absolutely threw him under the bus, you know, you would think he was. Cause, and how about that? How about Jason Garrett throwing Romo just under the bus, over the bus, through the bus, with basically calling him out in the press conference, talking about that last interception, which was a great interception. Not good interception, a great interception by Tremont Williams. But that's not the reason why they lost the game. The reason why Dallas lost this game, besides their defense that is about to be historically bad, is Jason Garrett in the play calling. You have a 26-3 lead. You have a 29-10 lead. Your running back is shredding the Packers for about 8 yards a pop, and for whatever reason, you finish the game with 48 passes and 18 runs. That's how you lose a game. Even with the turnovers, they still shouldn't have lost that game. Even with those turnovers, that's how you lose a game. I mean, the crazy thing about it is Green Bay, despite the fact that they were down and down big in the third and fourth quarter, they still were trying to run the ball. Even down by 20-plus points, they still were running the ball with Eddie Lacy, who ended up with 141 yards rushing. It's unbelievable. Like, Green Bay shouldn't have even gotten five possessions in the second half, being down by that many, that amount of points. You get a lead of three possessions, you shorten the game. If you have to take the air out of the ball a little bit, then so be it. Take the air out of the ball. You shorten the game. But again, for whatever reason, Dallas, you know, well, we know the reason. I mean, Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, and what have you. I mean, we know the reason. Five straight possessions Green Bay scores on. Then you have the situation with Dez Bryant walking up the field with a minute 20 left. I don't care how great a player he is. You have to suspend him for the next game. Not the final two games, because that the Philly game probably more than likely is going to come down to for the division title and the playoff spot. You suspend him against Washington and keep it moving. You split the difference. You suspend him against Washington, okay? And if you can't beat Washington, even without him, you can't beat the Redskins at this point, then you don't deserve to make the playoffs or win a division, frankly. Suspend him for Washington, play him against Philly at home. In 2 weeks. You split the difference with that. But the flip side of the coin, what a tremendous win by the Green Bay Packers. Matt Flynn, four touchdown passes after looking anemic in the first half. Green Bay showing you the character of a team. Mike McCarthy just showing you what his team is made of. In a season where nobody, and I mean nobody, would criticize Green Bay for not making the playoffs. No Aaron Rodgers for the last seven games. They go out there and just gut it out, hang in there, and steal a win at the end of the game. Great win for the Packers. Their playoff, they control their own destiny with that win, and their playoff hopes and divisional hopes are very much alive in the NFC North. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL Show. When we return, another shocking defeat in the NFC East. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show, 39 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour, as we discuss a week number 15 of NFL football. Minnesota clobbers Philadelphia 48-30. Big day out of Matt Castle, of all people, 382 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns. Greg Jennings had a flashback to 2010, basically. 11 catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown for him. Minnesota dominates time of possession. Horrible loss for Philadelphia. First of all, Minnesota, even when healthy, is an awful, terrible football team. No Adrian Peterson, no Toby Gelhart. Three defensive players, defensive backs out. And they find a way to lose the game. Just an inexcusable loss for the Philadelphia Eagles. They could have basically wrapped up the division had they won this game, considering what happened with Dallas and Green Bay. But now they're going to be in for a dogfight. And now, look at their finish. You finish with Chicago, home to Chicago, and at Dallas. So, bad loss for Philadelphia. Feel-good win for Minnesota, as their season has just been lost for a long time now. They improved to 4-9-1. Philadelphia falls to 8-6 on the season. Seattle shuts out the Giants 23-0. They improved to 12-2, an inch closer to clinching home field advantage. They already have clinched at least at worst a number two seed in the AFC. Giants fall to 5-9. Eli Manning, 5 interceptions. Russell Wilson breaks the record for most wins by a quarterback in his first two seasons, previously held by Ben Roethlisberger. Listen, Seattle to me is the class of the NFL. I've been saying it for like basically the last 6 weeks that they are the class of the NFL from top to bottom. I feel like they're the most complete team on a day where, you know, the Giants, you know, on a day where they basically beat the Giants, shut out the Giants with their C game. Seattle didn't do anything spectacular. I mean, Russell Wilson was pedestrian. Marshawn Lynch, you know, held him to 57 yards, though he did have a nice receiving day. But, again, Seattle has a ball-hawking defense, and when you have a ball-hawking defense versus a quarterback who turns it over, you know, every time you blink, there you go. I mean, Eli Manning, 5 interceptions, no touchdowns. Giants are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to set up an offense next year where you build off running the football. You can't be a pass first offense with Eli Manning. I'm not ready to give up on Eli Manning, but you just can't be a pass first offense and just say Eli throw it 35 to 40 times. You can't do it anymore. So Seattle handles his business, and again we'll have the opportunity to clinch home field throughout in week 16. New Orleans falls to St. Louis 27-16. St. Louis improves to 6-8 on the season. New Orleans falls to 10-4. I saw this game coming a mile away. Again, I did not pick New Orleans to lose, but I thought St. Louis would cover and thought St. Louis certainly would have a chance to win. Drew Brees did throw for 393 yards, but did have 2 interceptions. Robert Quinn was all over the place, a couple of sacks, but that doesn't even begin to tell the story as he was all over the field, dominated the game. Zach Stacy, who's had a very good year, 28 carries for 133 yards. And again, New Orleans outside the dome, even when they're in somebody else's dome stadium, they're just not the same team outside their building. St. Louis, on the other hand, has a lot of talent, and for a team that's 6-8. They've beaten Arizona, Indianapolis, Chicago, and New Orleans. That is a pretty impressive resume for a 6-8 football team. Coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show, a day to remember for Jamal Charles, and Jay Cutler returns. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. Kansas City dominates Oakland 56-31. Kansas City improving to 11-3. Oakland falling to 4-10. Obviously, a career day for Jamaal Charles. 5 touchdowns, 4 receiving. He goes 8 for 195 in terms of receiving. Just only had a mediocre day in terms of rushing, just 8 carries for 20 yards. But when you have 5 touchdowns, then it doesn't matter how many yards you rush for. 7 turnovers for Oakland. Kansas City was up by as many as 25 points in this game. Oakland got it back to 35-31, but then Kansas City ran away again to win this game rather easily. Kansas City is a team that, you look at teams that get off to these fast starts and then they hit a low and then they kind of get the ship steered in the right direction towards the end of the season. Kansas City is looking like that team. Start out 9-0. Defense is lights out. Offense just getting by. Have a 3-game losing streak where their defense goes to the tank. Now all of a sudden their offense has been unstoppable. Their last 4 games, they're averaging 42 points a game. And Jamaal Charles has become the ultimate weapon. You can't cover him out of the backfield. I mean, you literally have to probably put your number 2 or maybe even number 1 cornerback on him. Forget about a linebacker. Forget about a safety. He is a legit, if he was just a receiver, he'd be a tremendous receiver. He runs, this year, look at his receiving numbers are off the charts for a running back. I mean, he has 66 catches for over 600 yards. And Andy Reid has found something, putting him, lining him up. And again, he is a nightmare to cover, a nightmare trying to cover that guy. So I'm very interested to watch Kansas City down the stretch because right now out of these top contenders in the NFC, in the AFC, they're looking like the best right now, like they're playing the best. So keep your eyes on the Chiefs moving forward. Chicago over Cleveland 38-31. Cleveland falls to 4-10. They played better football than what their record indicates. They lost a ton of close games. Chicago improves to 8-6 and right now are at top the NFC North division. Jay Cutler returns, played okay, 22-31, 265, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Of course, he was rusty. Had a hot start, started out 7-8 for 100 yards, cooled off, threw a couple picks, but finished strong in the second half. Matt Forte, 24 carries, 127 yards. Chicago as a team, 179 yards rushing. Michael Bush had a 40-yard touchdown run. Jason Campbell, Cleveland just has to get that quarterback situation fixed. Jason Campbell, to me, will be a great, great backup. I mean, he'll play. Jason Campbell can play as long as he wants as a backup quarterback, but he's not a guy who you're going – he's not a starting quarterback on a playoff team, man. That's all there is to it. 23-39, 273, a couple of picks, and a touchdown. So, again, Cleveland has played much better than their record would indicate. Chicago, again, with some help from Baltimore, leads the NFC North division. New England falls to Miami, 24-20. The Patriots improve to 10-4 on the season. Miami improves to 8-6. Ryan Tannehill had a big day, 25-37, 312, 3 touchdowns. Brady, 34-55, 364, touchdown and a pick. The interception, the second time that Brady has ended the game on a potential game-winning drive with an interception, did it in Carolina, and he does it against Miami. You just knew. Again, 24-20, New England's driving. They drove the ball down 76 yards, got down to the Miami 14-yard line. You just knew that New England was going to go in for a win for the game-winning touchdown. There's no question in my mind. I was shocked. When Brady threw that interception. Michael Thomas, of course, who was on the San Francisco 49er practice team, a couple weeks back, made the game-saving pick. And give Miami a ton of credit for how they've bounced back from not only a losing streak earlier in the season, but from all the nonsense with Martin and Incognito. Joe Philbin has done a tremendous job resetting things and getting Miami in a position where not only they have a chance to make the playoffs, but also an outside chance to win their division. So give him a tremendous amount of credit. Miami playing good football right now. When we return, Carolina does it again, and Cincinnati falls in Pittsburgh. We'll talk about those games and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Carolina on this last edition of the NFL Show. Carolina takes out the Jets 30-20. I thought it would be easier for Carolina, but the Jets actually played decent. Maybe Carolina didn't take them as serious as they should have, but the Jets actually were in this game. It was just 16-13 after three quarters. Jets fall to 6-8. Carolina improves to 10-4. Cam Newton, 16-24, 273 and a touchdown. Carolina setting up a showdown at home next week versus the Saints, which I think will decide a division. The Jets, 6-8. I mean, this is what the Jets probably should have been in the beginning of the year. The Jets are not going to make the playoffs, but still, you can't consider it a bad season considering where their expectations were. Jets did have 157 yards rushing in this game, which kind of surprised me considering how good Carolina has been defensively, but they were able to do that. But again, Carolina able to push through 30-20. Arizona defeats Tennessee, takes out Tennessee in overtime 37-34. This was a 34 to improve to 9-5. Tennessee falls to 5-9. This was a 34-17 game in the fourth quarter. Arizona had to hang on for dear life to win overtime. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 40 yards passing. Kendall Wright, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. Kendall Wright, who's going to be a star in this league for Tennessee, had a big game, 12 catches for 150 yards receiving. Again, Arizona is still in the playoff, very much in the playoff hunt, but they're going to need some help, and they're going to need to win two tough games. Two brutal games in their division, Seattle and San Francisco. I mean, good luck with that. So if they do make the playoffs, they would have earned it without question. Cincinnati falls to Pittsburgh 30-20. Cincinnati falls to 9-5 on the season. Pittsburgh improves to 6-8. It was 21-0 before you blinked. Antonio Brown had a punt return. Also, another Pittsburgh touchdown was set up by the punter dropping the ball at the one-yard line. Kevin Huber, the Cincinnati punter, not only did he drop the ball and set up that touchdown, also had his mouth basically punched in and his jaw broken. He's done for the season. Done for the season by Will Allen and on the punt return from Antonio Brown. So just a horrible night for Cincinnati special teams. Neither team did anything really spectacular offensively. Neither team cracked 300 yards of total offense. Those special teams points were the difference in the game. You know, Cincinnati is who they are. Who they are. Their team, you know, you go out there, you have a chance to put yourself in the number two position in the AFC based on what happened with New England. And they knew, and of course, going to that game, they knew what that New England loss to Miami. You go out to Pittsburgh, and then you flat out lay an egg. I mean, Pittsburgh, this is probably the worst Pittsburgh team in the last, you know, 10 years. Easy. Probably the worst Pittsburgh team in the last 10 years. They have no defense whatsoever. Offensive line has been in shambles. Now starting to play a little bit better. And you go out there and you can't get the job done. This is why I laugh at the prospects that are at the idea that Cincinnati Bengals are a contender to do anything in the AFC. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this team, they have no killer instinct. They can't play outside their building. And when it's time to win a step-up game on the road, because they're going to have to win a game on the road to get to the Super Bowl, maybe even two, depending on how things fall. They might get one home game, but if they win that wild card game, they're going to have to win a road game in the divisional round. So, you know, but this is who Cincinnati is. You don't trust them as far as you can throw them. Baltimore takes out Detroit 18-16. Baltimore improves to 8-6. Detroit falls to 7-7. Detroit is like Dallas, you know, of the NFC North. Detroit finds ways to lose games that they probably shouldn't lose. You have Matthew Stafford throwing three picks. You have Calvin dropping Johnson, who, please don't ever compare him to Jerry Rice. Just don't do it. Dropping three key passes. And, by the way, the Baltimore kicker did make a 61-yard field goal. So, I mean, it wasn't all Detroit. Give Baltimore a lot of credit. They didn't do anything spectacular other than the kicker. Joe Flacco was pedestrian, but he didn't make mistakes. I thought Detroit should have ran the ball more. The run-pass ratio wasn't terrible. It was like 34 passes, 28 runs. But in a game like that, that's low-scoring, that's tight, you have a guy in Reggie Bush that's averaging 5 yards a pop. You have another quality backup in Joik Bell. To me, I think you run the football. That's just myself. I think you run the football. Baltimore, you know, has a very, very good secondary, very good secondary, despite some of the losses they've had over the past couple of years. Calvin Johnson, you know, 14 targets. I love Calvin Johnson, but you know, sometimes you have to make the game easier on yourself. So, Baltimore, again, a great character win for the Ravens and a blown and missed opportunity for Detroit, who now will need some help to get into the postseason. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, 9 turnovers. That's all I'll say. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. No, so real Quinn 347-215-6180 is your call number. As the Redskins fall to 3-11 with a 27-26 loss to the Atlanta Falcons, who improved to 4-10. One of the sloppiest games you'll ever see. 9 turnovers, 7 by the Redskins. And typical Redskins, they outgained their opponents, outgained Atlanta, physically outplayed them, 476-243. Have a good, a fairly good day by Kirk Cousins, and find a way to lose. You know, you watch this game, and you look at these two football teams, thinking just some bad football all around. As one, there was a stretch in this game where you had 3 straight turnovers. I mean, back to back, 2 fumbles by the Redskins. And, you know, you look at Mike Shanahan, you had no problem with him going for the 2-point conversion for the win. I had no problem with that. The team's 3-10. What's the difference? You don't have a draft pick in the first round. What's the difference? It didn't matter. Even though the percentage is, say, you play for overtime and, you know, chances are, unless you get a kickoff return, that you're going to get a possession to try to win the game. So, of course, the percentage play is to go to overtime. But, again, I had no problem with it. But then, you know, and this has been the theme for the last month, as the Redskins losing streak extended to 6, these Redskins just can't lose and be done with it. And we can't just talk about what they didn't do on the field. We also have to talk about the fact that, you know, Mike Shanahan cut short a press conference. Also, I talk about the fact that reports stating that Kyle Shanahan wants out, will not be coaching with Mike Shanahan, regardless of what happens, whether Mike Shanahan is coaching the Redskins or wherever Mike Shanahan is at next year. In the press conference yesterday, on the Monday press conference, you heard Mike Shanahan bring up, without even anybody saying anything or asking about future coordinators or what have you, heard Mike Shanahan bring up Gary Kubiak's name twice. Kubiak, of course, was Mike Shanahan's quarterback Kubiak, of course, was a longtime backup to John Elway and worked with Shanahan in Denver when they won 2 Super Bowls. So, you know, again, maybe I'm reading too much into Kubiak, but still, nobody said anything about Gary Kubiak. I just found it curious that Mike Shanahan would bring his name up not once, but twice. But again, that's typical Redskins. You know, you just can't lose a game. It has to be something else going on besides football and besides what happens on the field. Shanahan reiterated yesterday that he's not going anywhere, that he's not going to resign. He really doesn't have a choice whether he keeps his job or not. But he said, listen, I'm not going to quit. And to no surprise, you know, who in their right mind would walk away from $7 million? I wouldn't. So that doesn't shock me at all that he says he's not going to quit. Fire me and pay me. That's basically what he wants. Because he gets the best of both worlds if he gets fired. Not only does he get paid, but he can go and get another job and get paid. He'll be getting paid 2 contracts to do 1 job. He can work if he wants to next year. You figure somebody will pick him up. Maybe Houston takes a shot at him. So if he wants to, he can work next year for another team. So I wouldn't touch him about another team. But there's not that many names out there. He'll probably get another job next year. If he quits, then not only does he not get paid, but the Redskins also can receive compensation for him, possibly, and not allow him to go to another team if he quits. I don't think they would do that, but I just think they would take the $7 million and say, you know, bye-bye, Mike. But he's not going to quit. That's the bottom line. And, you know, as far as Kirk Cousins goes, I thought he played well, had he played great in the first half, was shaky in the second. You do give him credit for taking him down the field and getting that game-time touchdown, so I give him credit for that. Listen, Kirk Cousins, I think, has a potential to be a starting quarterback in this league. I don't think Kirk Cousins is a star. What are you going to get for Kirk Cousins? Maybe, if you're lucky, you get a second-round pick. Maybe. I would go more towards a third, a fourth, maybe probably a third. I would think three is the number in my mind. There's no way you're getting the first-round pick for Kirk Cousins. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So you can get that out of your mind if you're a Redskins fan. Would you trade? And I would even have to question, would you trade him for a second-round pick? To be honest with you, I know you're looking for draft picks, but again, you're going to have cap space. So that 2-year penalty is over with. And you have a quarterback in RG3 that, you know, is a injury concern with the knee and with his style of play. So, man, Kirk Cousins easily one of the top five backup quarterbacks in the league. Easy. I mean, he might even be the best backup quarterback in the league. Well, Jake McCown, Jason Campbell up there, but he's up there without question. 347-215-6180. When we return, we'll talk about playoff scenarios and character, because that played a big theme in this week. So that's coming up and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the NFL Show. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. So you look at the NFC right now. Seattle's pretty set up for a home field advantage. You're gonna have either New Orleans or Carolina's gonna be the number two. San Francisco is gonna make the playoffs, and it's gonna come down to probably two last week 17 games, Green Bay, Chicago, and Philadelphia, Dallas. So that's basically you're going to be your playoffs, your NFC playoff in a nutshell. Arizona still has a chance. They need some help. Detroit, of course, still has a chance. They need some help. And that's basically it as far as the NFC goes. As far as the AFC goes, you have still a lot of seeding to be figured out. You don't know. I mean, the top three seeds are up for grabs. Really, I mean, everything's up for grabs as far as the seeding goes. The only thing you know is that the number six seed. You don't even know that, depending on what Cincinnati does. I mean, but basically, number six seed is either going to be Baltimore, Miami, or San Diego. I know Pittsburgh mathematically still alive, but they need a ton of help, a miracle. But those are your three teams for your six seed that's going to be in the mix more than likely. Denver and New England have to keep playing because Kansas City now is at 11-3. All Denver has to do is finish tied, and they'll, of course, win the division, but they still have to keep winning. Denver, of course, has New England right on his tail. If both teams finish tied, of course, New England will have the tiebreaker. And New England, has Miami in its rear view so far as the division goes. But New England's going to make the playoffs. Just a matter of what seed they get. Cincinnati still has a chance to get the number two seed over New England if they finish tied because of the tiebreaker situation. The Cincinnati, of course, beat New England. So, a lot of things to be figured out in the AFC. Two teams that I would not want to see in the AFC playoffs, if I'm Denver or New England or any of those top three seeds, is I wouldn't want to see Baltimore, and I would not want to see San Diego if they were to get in. Those two teams right now I don't want to see, frankly. Those are two teams that, you know, San Diego with the hot quarterback and Phillip Rivers and just playing, being able to play, especially play with no pressure, because nobody expected them to do anything. And, of course, you have Baltimore, who has championship pedigree and know how to win. They have a quarterback who has a great postseason record, and they have a great coach. I mean, John Harbaugh deserves, I think, some Coach of the Year consideration for what he's done with that team. You consider the injuries. You consider who they lost. They lost two Hall of Famers. Okay, think about Ed Reed and Ray Lewis off your defense. Ray Rice has been bad this year. You haven't had a receiver that really that stood out. Torrey Smith's been pretty good, but not great. I mean, how they have 8 wins is beyond me. Now, they play some good defense. Flacco has not been spectacular this year by any stretch of imagination. They have great special teams and good defense. Jacoby Jones has been off the charts good. We know Justin Tucker probably has a chance to be first-team All-Pro in terms of as a kicker, how good he is. But just a tremendous job being done by John Harbaugh. I mean, coming off that Super Bowl, I thought that they would struggle mightily to make the playoffs. I thought that they would probably, you know, they would be in the mix of the division, but I thought there was a chance that they would miss the playoffs. And looking, they are set up nicely to not only make the playoffs, but also to make a run, another deep run in the playoffs. I mean, do you want to see that team if you're New England? Especially if you're New England, you don't want to see Baltimore. But with that defense and that special teams, they can play in cold weather, they can win on the road. You don't want to see that team at all. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens moving forward these next couple of weeks. You have next week scheduled, no Thursday night game. 9 1 o'clock games, some great matchups. Chicago at Philly will be the Sunday night game. New England at Baltimore. You'll have Dallas at Washington. See the Cowboys rebound off the loss against Green Bay. Indianapolis at Kansas City, which could be a wild card matchup. I think Kansas City is 5, Indianapolis is 4 right now, I believe. Yeah, Indianapolis, yeah, those are 4 or 5 at this point. New Orleans at Carolina, that game will be for the division. Arizona at Seattle. Seattle has a chance, of course, to clinch home field throughout. So should be an exciting 2 weeks left of NFL football as we head towards the playoffs. Looking forward to it. Again, 9 1 o'clock games. I might do an NFL live show. We'll see what happens with that. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the NFL show. Have a great night. Take it easy. I'll see you soon.